Hey Liverpool fans, have you seen the latest release? At Anfield Index, we've teamed up with Liverpool FC to announce that the brand new 24-25 LFC Nike home kit and anthem jacket are out now, and they're hotter than ever. The brand new kit pays homage to the legendary Rome 1984 side, featuring sleek pinstripe detailing that brings a touch of history to our modern game. Whether you're cheering from the Kop or watching from home, you'll feel the spirit of the Reds coursing through every stitch. The best part? You can grab yours today. The new kit and training range are available in official stores, online, and through the LFC store app. Don't wait. Order now and be ready to show your Liverpool pride and style. Get your hands on the new 24-25 LFC home kit and anthem jacket today. Let's make this season unforgettable. You'll never walk alone.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello, Zhao. Welcome to the show. First of all, it's been a while since you left Liverpool, so I was wondering, what have you been up to since you left Liverpool? And what are you doing now?
Hello, hi, how are you? I left Liverpool. I went to Porto. At that time, it was 2016, I think. And then I didn't play much that year. Then I went on loan to Braga. Then I signed with Vitória in Portugal as well. So I stayed for 4 years in Portugal playing there. Then I went to Feyenoord. I stayed there for almost 2 years. Then I went to Qatar, and now I'm in China. I play in a Chinese team called Shanghai Shenhua in Shanghai.
And you're in great form as well. I was looking at your numbers, 6 goals and 1 assist in 9 games so far. So you must be enjoying your time there in China at the moment.
Yeah, it's great. The cities are unbelievable, and the football is good. We have very good condition facilities here in our club, and all the stadiums are very nice to play, good teams. So it's a different kind of football, of course, but very, very enjoyable.
Obviously, you mentioned you played for Feyenoord, and one of the reasons why I wanted to speak to you is because during your time at Feyenoord, you actually played a little bit under Arne Slot, who now seems to be, it looks very likely that he will be the next Liverpool manager. So I was wondering, have you seen the news? What do you make of the news of him becoming Liverpool manager? Are you surprised by it?
I have seen the news. I'm not surprised because I really think that he is very, very good, and he has all the potential to be in one of the top clubs in Europe. Of course, if he goes to Liverpool, that will happen very soon. I could see a lot of things in him that, like, tactically was so good in trainings as well. So the trainings were very competitive, intense, at the same time not boring. You know, when you are a footballer, sometimes you always do the same every week, and didn't happen with him. all the trainings very and he was worried about every situation, like sleeping, eating, you know, resting, because at the time we were playing Conference League and Dutch League, so many games during the week, and he was worried about everything. And you could see, as a coach, he's very, the way he manages, it's very good, because he's very straight ahead, so he's very straightforward. If he has something to tell you, he calls you to his office, he will tell you. And at the same time, he's not like rude or anything. He's a very nice guy that he tries to involve everyone in training or gym sessions, whatever. He's always like involved, and his staff as well. So I think he has a lot of qualities to be a top manager. And I think, in my point of view, I think he's going to be a very, very good manager to Liverpool. Like, as a new, of course, it's very hard to replace Klopp. I don't think he's not going to replace Klopp, because that's Klopp. They are very different in their own ways. So I think he will like bring the new fresh air, let's say, and hopefully he keeps winning like Klopp used to do.
I was wondering, when he first arrived at the club, obviously you'd been at Feyenoord already, and did he have a sort of reputation in the Netherlands already? Well, I know some of your teammates must have played against him, so how were they feeling in terms of him coming in? Were they excited?
I didn't know him when he was before he comes to Feyenoord. But basically, he was in AZ Alkmaar, is one of the biggest teams there, let's say fourth, fifth team in Holland. And at the time, he was doing very well. All the 3 years, I think he got third, second, so it's pretty good. And Feyenoord wasn't in a very good situation, like club-wise at the time, pandemic as well. Basically, he brought a lot of stability to the club. That was the biggest thing. He got the results, and I think the stability he brought to the club was a little bit what Klopp did when Liverpool was a bit like, you know, not stable, not fighting for anything. Sometimes do, sometimes don't. So basically, he put Feyenoord back on track, fighting with the big ones, and even in the, you got the final in Conference League, then you got semi-finals in Europe League, I think. Then next year I wasn't there anymore, but you know, he brought like a lot of stability again. He organized the club, let's say that, like in that way. And I think he's been doing a great job in Feyenoord. I thought that after, when he came, I was checking AZ Alkmaar. He did a great job there, apparently. So I think he's the right guy for Liverpool. I really believe. And even when I left, I wasn't playing much with him. But I even said to my friends, this guy will be a great coach for sure.
I was wondering, you mentioned he brought stability, sort of changed the club. How did he do that? What were the sort of changes that he made when he arrived at Feyenoord?
You know, the first thing was like the what I felt the most one year to another was the way we train. He basically changed a lot of the exercises. His exercise in training was, he was doing exercises exactly the way we want to be on the pitch for the game. So it was like, From the week, he was passing the exercises exactly the same, the way that we want to play in the games. And the intensity put it on it. You know, he leveled up all the quality of the players. Everyone, you know, if you could do, let's say, if you dribble one guy, you're going to dribble two, because he leveled up the quality of all the players. And tactically, it was very good. So when the team is organized and everyone knows what to do as a one, because the team is 11 players, so makes everything much easier. So I think was this organization that he brought, like inside and even outside of the pitch, because we had like imagine almost every day we had a warming up session, let's say mobility or strength condition before the training. Everything was very well planned, and that was the main change that I felt that he brought it to the club. And basically, he knew exactly what he wants, the way he wants us to play. So was very clear on his mind. And what I've been seeing, like since I left, a lot of players change, but they still they bought new players, but they still going. You know, like they have good results. They still fighting for the league, fighting for in Europe. They're doing well. So, you know, that's the hardest thing is when you have a top team, but then it changes and you don't have the same players and you have to do it again. And I think he's been doing very, very well. And he's very clear the way he wants to play. He adapts himself very well as well. And he reads the game very well.
You mentioned that the stability that he brought over was sort of similar to what Jurgen Klopp did at Liverpool. Obviously, you were at Liverpool when Jurgen Klopp came over. So
yeah.
Did you see any sort of similarities in the changes that they made to the club? Obviously, Slot with Feyenoord and Klopp with Liverpool.
Yeah, you feel a lot. What I felt the most in Liverpool as well was like the tactically side of the game. So in terms of tactics, Klopp was very strict and the way he wanted us to play, and he was like explaining exactly what he wants. So football-wise, they don't have the same type of football. Okay, but both of them, they know what kind of game they want to play. So there was similarities and difference, of course, different kind of football, but at the same time, both of them knew exactly what they want, the way they want. And basically, they organized the clubs, let's say Liverpool at the time with Klopp and now Feyenoord with Arne Slot. They organized the way they want, and they knew what they want. And I think that's the most similarity. But they personalities, they difference. Like Arne Slot is more calm, is more relaxed. Klopp is more lively, more passion. So they different, but it's nothing. Football is it's inside of the pitch, and of course you have to manage the players. But I think Arne is it's ready, and I hope he can achieve great things in Liverpool.
And you mentioned he wanted a very particular style of play. What was that style of play? What was it that he wanted from you guys at Feyenoord?
Yeah, it was a very offensive game, like high pressing, a lot of like triangles on the pitch, you know, changing sides. So let's say attraction on one side and change to the other side where the space was it. We did a lot of like sometimes we play with a left back inside instead of building from outside. So we had different ways to play depending on the opponent as well. But the main thing was like very offensive and very, very intense. Like you could not stop till you get the ball back. Like an example, that was his main thing. You cannot stop sprinting till you have the ball back. And then with the ball, he gave us a lot of like options. But at the same time, he could like freely the players, let's say the last third, he could be, let's say, not sure. He give like a lot of freedom to the players at the same time, but...
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
He explained like the way we're going to build up the game and the way he wants the players, you know, all these kind of things. But it's an offensive football, a lot of goals scored. But at the same time, he was worried like about defending. You know, when you are attacking, you have to be ready to defend as well. So he was always aware of that, and he puts the team like in a very high pressing all the time. Sometimes we would be like 1v1 in the back, like our central defender and the striker, just like 1v1, because you want the team to push up and actually. But depends, like I said, depends on the opponents as well, because sometimes we're harder, but usually all the time like this.
So it sounds like to me that in terms of the high intensity and the pressing, he's similar to Jurgen Klopp, but maybe in the build-up and the possession, he's a little bit different to Klopp.
Yeah. Let's say that. But you know, nowadays you have to adapt, you have to change, because if you play all the time the same way, the team's going to find out. There's cameras everywhere. So, but yes, the main thing was like intensity and offensive kind of football, like scoring goals. And, you know, that's why you go to the stadium.
As a midfielder in particular, what did he want from you as a player?
You know, I was playing number 10 at the time. I wasn't playing much, but, you know, I had to follow, like, what he wanted as a number 10. And, yeah, I was playing behind the striker. And the main thing was, like, more openings. Let's say you have the striker and the number 10 would do the openings to push the defenders back to have more space then in the midfielder to play. Let's say it was the main thing at the time. Now I have no idea because I'm not been following much, but at the time was the main thing that he wanted from the number 10s of the team, like in that position.
Yeah, because I spoke to some midfielders and they said he wanted the midfielders to sort of run into the box and score goals.
As well. He pushed a lot like for the midfielders because the team was so high that was very easy, like the number 8 and 6 be next to the box because everyone, you know, like I said, sometimes in the back was 1v1, strike and the central defense. So it means like everyone is in the front and pushing very high. So with the players in Liverpool, I think it will work because Liverpool has top players.
Yeah, and I think the thing that really stands out to me is he really gets the best out of the strikers. You mentioned he plays good attacking football. All the forwards score a lot of goals under him. I was wondering, you were teammates with Diogo Jota. Do you think he's someone who could sort of fit this system well in its slot system?
Yeah, to be honest, I think any player, because it's such an offensive game that all the players in Liverpool are very good with the ball and they know what to do with the ball. So it's such an offensive game that I think all the players will fit there and, you know, sometimes if it's a more defensive way to play, it's harder for some players because they cannot defend the same way or whatever. But when he's attacking, it's much easier and you enjoy more the game. Like as a player, you have the ball, you shoot to the goal, you crosses, and you are always attacking. And that's fun. That's much more fun.
Obviously, you were there as well during his first pre-season at the club. Now he's going to be joining Liverpool in pre-season. What should the Liverpool players expect? Is it going to be a really intense summer ahead?
No, it's intense, but not crazy. No, it's nothing like, I have no idea, but for sure it's not like crazy. No. It's an intense pre-season, and but it's a lot of ball. Most of them, ball. Every day, afternoon, sometimes we train twice in a day. Most, like I would say 90% of the exercise with the ball. So it's hard because it has to be, it's a preseason, but always with the ball, and with the ball makes everything so much easier.
I wanted to ask you as well in terms of, you know, like his character. What is he like in terms of dealing with players? I know you were injured during your time with him. How did he deal with you as an injured player?
No, like he's always worried about everyone. Like even if you injure, if you're not, if you're playing, if you're not, doesn't really matter. He's worried with everyone, and he always like he has a quite close relationship with the players. Not like father figure. No, I'm not saying that, but he's always worried. He's a very nice guy. He's a funny guy as well. He likes to joke. And in training, smiley guy. When he's on the pitch, he explains and he's very lively. Calm, let's say he's a calm guy, yes. But very nice, very easy to... He's an easygoing guy, let's say. It's very easy to work with. Nothing to say about bad things to say about his character. All is straightforward, like I told you. If he has something to say, he will tell you. He'll call you to your office and be straight, so... Nothing bad to say about his character, and just good things. Like I said, funny guy, very always in a nice mood, it's fun to work with him.
Is that how he's like with the media as well? Just joking around.
Yeah, with the media, I have no idea. With the media, I have no idea because I've never really watched his interviews or and interviews were in Dutch and I couldn't even understand what he was saying.
Fair enough.
I have no idea. With the media, I have no idea.
Back to yourself then. Obviously, we talked a little bit about how you're playing in China at the moment. What are your sort of goals for this season and ambitions for the future?
No, no. I'm 31. I want to enjoy football. I want to enjoy life as well. So I live in a beautiful country, beautiful city. My family around. The club is great. So with the team, we are doing well. We started legal. So 9 games we played, and let's see what this year bring to us. But we are doing well. Hopefully, we keep going.
It looks like you get a lot of support as well. It's quite a popular club in China, so it must be nice to play in front of like big crowds and having a good sort of run of form as well.
Yeah, we keep playing like in Europe. We have a big stadium with a lot of fans every game, so you don't feel much difference between playing in Europe or here. So. Like I told you, this is a lovely city, the club gives us all the facilities that we need, all the things that we need to perform. And like I told you, I've been playing, I'm enjoying, I've been helping the team, and it's the most important.
In terms of your career, you obviously mentioned you're 31. Are you thinking about after football? Do you have a sort of plan for what you want to do after?
Yeah, I have done the license UEFA C for coaching, and I will see what I'm gonna do. I'm not sure yet. I have done UEFA C, but maybe I will do it more afterwards. But right now, they don't allow me in Portugal to do abroad, so I have to be there. I have no idea if I will be I don't know. I have no idea what I will be, but at the same time it's hard because we are always traveling and coach makes a lot of travels as well. So I'm not sure. I still have time, so I'm still young, so I will think that after I finish or close to finish my career.
Yeah, I mean you've played at so many big clubs and under such big managers, so I think you've got that experience already coming through the youth system at Sporting, being in Liverpool's academy and playing under Jurgen Klopp, and obviously playing under Arne Slot at Feyenoord and playing in Porto as well. So you've got a lot of experience. So if you do want to make that step, I think it's something that you can take all these ideas that you picked up throughout your career so far.
Yeah, you actually learn a lot in trainings and the way you want or the way you think is the right way to. So you learn with the coaches when you are a player, and maybe some things you think is right, some things you think is wrong, and then you try to organize and make your own style or on your own idea or what you think is the best. But yes, you're right. You learn a lot with the coaches during the years, even if you don't play, because in training is the most like way that let you really learn, and they explain you. And I had lucky, like you said, I had lucky to be part of great clubs with great managers, and yeah, I'm still learning.
What would you say is your proudest memory in the game so far?
I have no idea, to be honest. I never thought about it. But I enjoy every moment like I had in my career till so far. So right now, the last one was score a goal maybe 4 days ago, and I scored a goal, so it was the best memory so far.
Okay, well, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Chat to you, and thank you. Really enjoyed the insight from about Arnestad as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows. Sports Social Podcast Network.